Let's start with UK politics and Ian Dunt, our regular commentator and iNews columnist. Ian, cheer me up with stories of Tory defeats.
Very, very extensive, catastrophic, almost Old Testament, really. So we had, just last week, the local elections, the mayoral elections, police commissioners and crime elections, and a by-election, and a sort of Westminster constituency election. So we basically had almost every kind of election that you can have, apart from a general election last week. And the sum result for the Conservatives was sort of an Old Testament level sense of despair and impending doom. You know, the blood-dimmed tide is rising. It's all very end of days for the party at the moment.
And that you, was really you know how to make an old man happy,
come to.
Ian.
Yes, I've come here predominantly for your emotional satisfaction and my own, in fact, but I've decided to present it in electoral terms.
So rattle them off.
So the main issue that they have, really, when you look at the results in the local elections, is the tactical voting and the efficiency of Labour's vote. So this is the crucial thing. It's not just that the Tories are losing seats, although they were pretty much everywhere. They basically lost about half the seats that they had before election day. It was also the fact that Labour were performing best in those areas where it usually struggles. So seats that were predominantly pro-Brexit, that were predominantly pro-conservative, that wanted to leave the EU. In these areas, Labour's vote was improving hugely. They were winning them hands down. The areas where its vote wasn't actually doing that well were areas that they can afford to lose. So urban, metropolitan areas full of sort of young, socially mobile, liberal voters, the kind of areas where they have such huge majorities that they can afford to lose some of that vote. And actually, Labour did lose some of that vote, predominantly over anger over the Gaza war. So that vote would go to the further left, to the Greens. And in some cases to the Liberal Democrats. So the Conservative position wasn't even just look at the numbers. It was also look at the efficiency of the Labour vote, that crucial element people almost never talk about with elections. That was the area where they were getting very, very badly punished.
What are the voters telling the Tories?
That they want them to go quietly, shuffle off to a nearby graveyard, start digging, and then get inside of it. Like the message is unmistakable. Now, the crucial part is you look at seat after seat, and what you find is voters are selecting whichever party can defeat the Conservatives. Sometimes they'll go for the Lib Dems. Sometimes they'll go for Labour. It really doesn't seem to matter to them very much who that party is. All that matters is they're basically just saying, show me the person who's best placed to defeat the government, because that is what I'm in this polling booth to do. And when voters start exhibiting that kind of behaviour, you know that you're in very significant trouble. We look at the mayoral elections. I mean, Labour won almost all of the mayoral elections. This is sort of the mayors of usually quite large cities, sometimes towns, sometimes regions. Apart from one. So they kept one Tory MP, Ben Hoochin, in the Tees Valley. But to give you an impression of where we are, Ben Hoochin didn't even wear his Conservative badge when he got up on stage for the result. It doesn't mention the Conservatives anywhere in the leaflets that he put out. He basically ran, distancing himself as much as possible, and that was the only manner in which he could succeed.
So they lose half the 1,000 council seats.
Basically, yeah, it was around half. I think in the end it was 49% of the seats they were losing. It looked higher at certain earlier points in the evening. This is essentially where they've gotten themselves into now. I mean, this week, Rishi Sunak has come out and he said, look, we're actually not heading towards a big defeat. We're heading towards a hung parliament. It's a quite pathetic spectacle, actually, to watch the Prime Minister desperately try to convince people that he's only going to lose by a small bit rather than by a big bit. But at the moment, that's the best argument he can make. And he's making that on the basis of a dispute in the polling. That's basically people have projected from the local elections to the general election and said, right, this is it. Labour's only on course for a hung parliament rather than a large majority. All of that calculation is just embarrassingly poor. It's so infantile, so illiterate into the basics of polling, that it's sort of equivalent, really, of a football journalist mistaking the rules of football for the rules of cricket. It's really rudimentary errors that are being made. And the error is this. People don't vote the same way in local elections as they do in national elections. They're not going to vote for the Green Party, for instance, in such large numbers in the general election as they do in a local, because in a local you could afford to have an ideal idealistic rebellion vote, send a message to Labour, that sort of thing. As well as that fact, the local elections didn't include Wales and they didn't include Scotland. Now, crucially, Scotland is shifting from the Scottish National Party, the Nationalists, slowly towards Labour. Labour can expect seats there. So no serious polling analyst has looked at what happened and thought that it's anything other than a Labour landslide. That is the result that we're heading towards. But the Prime Minister, through this really quite desperate ploy, has tried to present some of the projections as proof that he can secure only a minor loss rather than an absolutely catastrophic one.
Ian, has the Labour leader been graceful in victory?
Yes, I think he probably has overall. He's being vindicated here to a really quite considerable degree. And I don't just mean against the Conservatives. I mean, obviously, against the left of the Labour Party, who absolutely despise him and, you know, told people not to vote for him and said he's worse than a Conservative and blah, blah, blah. But also, I think, against people like myself, you know, commentators who, in 2021, we had a Hartlepool by-election that Labour lost. Actually, the vote share was moving from Labour to the Conservatives. You know, this is after over a decade of Conservative rule, while the Conservative Party was catastrophically mishandling the COVID emergency. And it was this real moment of like, my God, like something is going badly wrong with the Starmer project. And in fact, Starmer has himself now conceded that he considered resigning at that point. Now we had, you know, elections in Hartlepool this time. I mean, it's just Labour just picking up seats, just dominating the area, just winning on historic swings. I mean, you know, 23 points, 25 points, 26 point swings, just silly nonsense swings of the kind of numerical level that you just don't get to. And that is a vindication of the strategy that many of us were questioning at this time in 2021, that many of us thought, you know, there's a problem here. Truth is, he's followed a cautious strategy, but he's followed a very, very professional, very workmanlike, very empirically data-based strategy for winning. And it is to his commendable credit that he's seen it through with such discipline.
The battle within the Tories must be absolutely monumental.
Well, they're just starting to tear each other apart now. So you're seeing this split really with the right and... we can't call it the left because the Tory party really was purged of its moderate elements during Brexit to become this really quite, you know, startlingly populist radical party. But it's more sort of centristy elements. So Andy Street, who lost the mayoral election in the West Midlands, he was a Conservative. He was broadly quite pragmatic, almost entirely sane, you know, so quite an unusual figure in the modern Conservative Party. And he was there after the vote sort of saying, you know, do not take this as a reason to go to the right, whatever you do. But at the same time, you have Suella Braverman, absolutely catastrophically inept and without any seeming moral foundation to her personality whatsoever, former Home Secretary, just sat there going, look, this means we've got to go further against European human rights. We've got to leave every international organisation we can find. We've got to get rid of all the refugees, yada, 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 the exact kind of rhetoric that you would expect. And in that clash between those two figures, you pretty much get to see the future of the Conservative Party play out. Unfortunately, Suella Braverman is likely to win that battle over the slightly more sane elements of the remaining parliamentary party.
Ian, we are living in the end times and the political rapture is upon us. Thanks for coming on. We will talk to Ian again in a fortnight. Ian is, of course, LNL's regular commentator on UK politics and a columnist for iNews, LNL on RN.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.